On this week's Rain on Your Parade, is democracy dying? Should the Electoral College be abolished? And am I the next Brad Garrett? Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan. With me, as always, producer Mike.
Hi, JL. Hey, audience. How you doing?
You see that, folks? Did you see that? We finally got it. It's a little late in the day from when we normally record, but yeah. He accidentally respected me.
It must be the migraine.
Yeah. Well, what a... And I walked in here, by the way, and we almost had a slick back studios disaster.
It was almost the beginning of the... Well, the full end. The beginning of the end was when we opened the doors, I think.
But, yeah. I tripped on some of the many wires in here, and I heard Mike go, no. And I was like, well, it's not me falling. Oh, shit. It must be this expensive camera. And before it was too late, it had fallen, but it did get up. Okay. It fell, but it did get up.
Thank
and it was not damaged.
Thank God.
Yeah. We're excited about that. I just started working again, and I was like, well, I guess the court is going to be garnishing my wages for Slickback Studios. And as you can see, it's late in the day. I'm having tea instead of water. So we're going to be spilling tea today.
That's right.
Because I'm low testosterone. I got the results back from the doctor.
Oh, finally?
Yeah.
It's official?
Low tea. No, I'm not.
To the bottom of it, at least.
I'm not. I was shocked, to be honest. I was like, really? I have normal testosterone? I feel so fucking down. And my man tits are so big right now. I feel like that's got to be something. But it turns out I'm just a lazy piece of shit. That is nothing to do with testosterone. That's just a character flaw.
Right.
So good news, bad news, I guess. My mom, as of this recording, my mom turns 80 on Friday.
Wow.
I know.
God bless. Mazel.
Yeah. I mean, she is much like Michael Jordan. She is proof that anger and spite can be a life force. You can accomplish a lot with that.
Yeah. It's like your mom's an old Jew, the way that that's what kept my grandma alive till she was like in her 90s.
Yeah.
Grandma Emma, rest in peace. Miss you. But she was a rough and tumble, spiteful old lady.
Yeah. Well, no, my mom lost her mom when she was 9. That's sort of the Scrooge McDuck's lucky dime of my family.
Yeah.
Like, and it, unlucky, obviously, but it I think set my mom on a course. And her personality, I think, you know, there's two ways when you're dealt tragedy as a young person, you know, and her older sister died when she was 21. So the two female figures of leadership and comfort in her life both died early. And I think there, when people are dealt tragedy, they can sometimes turn away from religion or turn away from things, be like, oh, there is no God. I think my mom, in a very JL foreshadowing sort of way, was like, all right, God, I'll double down. You want to fuck me? Well, I'm going to play exactly by your rules and we'll see who wins in the end. I really think she's like a devout spite Catholic.
Yeah.
If that's a thing, it's like a different branch than Opus Dei. It's militant in its own way.
Yeah. You could be fooled, man. She could be Italians are like that. I guess, you know what? Is your mom's the Irish? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess it's a little atypical of the Irish, because the Irish are usually, they're spiteful, but they keep it in.
Yeah.
Where Italians are spiteful and they push it out, you know?
Oh, anyway, no, Vinny, we're talking Irish stuff today. But yeah, she turns eight, and then she just worked her ass off. She married a black immigrant in 1971 because, hey, why not play life on the hardest level?
Right.
Could we not do this in 1951? Fine. I guess 71. It's been legal by the Supreme Court for 4 whole years. I guess I guess America's ready for this. I remember my mom telling me that I believe it was my brother. When my brother was born in late 1972, my mom and dad were wheeling the carriage down the street, and a nun did like one of these, like, let me get a look at this mongrel beast in the carriage.
Yeah.
And my mom, devout Catholic, went,
nice. Good
and
for
I'm
her.
Giving the finger for those not watching on YouTube. I'm giving the finger. But yeah. And she just worked her ass off, high school educated, but she just wanted to go to work right away. Because I think in her mind, it was just nobody's going to take care of me. Literally, like in a way, kind of literally, although obviously her father was there and working hard. Mm-hmm. But I think that mindset of like, you can't depend on anything except yourself, set in. And that's, you know, as I've often joked, my mom was going to be a great mom, and she wasn't going to let her kids get in the fucking way of that. that's how I would define my mom's mothering style.
Yeah.
She's going to make a success out of you, even if it kills you.
Yeah.
So I've been there. Happy birthday, mom. 80 though. She's the, you know, my dad passed away. Wow. It's, 7 years ago on February 27th. So 4 days after my mom's birthday, my dad died. And it was like, all right, thanks for the birthday present. No, but he was 85. He would have been 92 now. But my mom is the oldest, other than my dad, the oldest living person like in her family, you know? And so she's tough. I am not. Yeah, happy birthday to her. Moving on from that, I've been watching this show, Not Dead Yet, because I'm a big fan of, I call her Jane the Virgin because I always forget her name, but yes. Gina Rodriguez.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of Gina Rodriguez, mainly, you know, physically, but also I've liked the stuff she's done so far for the most part. And, but on her show, season two of her show just started. I was like pleasantly surprised that it was on, you know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah,
is this, did this thing even get enough ratings? Was I the only one on earth watching this? And by the way, watching it on ABC, not on Hulu the next day.
You were watching it actually?
Yeah, I DVR'd it.
DVR. Oh my God.
I was like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a half hour. I need this. I think you'd agree. I need pleasant sitcoms. Yeah, in my life.
I do. I mean, I'm surprised that that's one that you're into.
Well, I gave it a try.
So horrible.
Yeah, yeah. I gave it a try.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, well, let's see. Because yeah. Jane the Virgin, I actually really enjoyed.
Yeah.
It was kind of a very unique sort of like a telenovela mock. Mm-hmm. But it's like a comedy 6 feet under. She writes obituaries. So each episode she's like conversing with the subject that she's writing about. It's very light. I'm sure some people will say it sucks. But in season two... Brad Garrett shows up.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, do I need to have a conversation with Brad Garrett. Because, you know, in life, you can be a Brad Pitt or you can be a Brad Garrett. I'm a Brad Garrett.
Sure.
I used to be, I often joke, Ariel Winter. Do you know who she is?
I know the name.
Very, very busty middle daughter on Modern Family.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Very, but like, and she really like, towards the end of that show, it was like, oops, did I wear like a... bikini top on Instagram. Whoopsies.
Yeah.
I've often joked, me and Laura, because Laura, I'm a fan of Ariel Winter. Laura is a fan of Rick Fox.
Right.
And I often joke, I'm like, wow, we're each other's real world settling for our dream person. I'm 6'7" biracial and played basketball. It's like, if I put that in, it's like, oh, wow, is it Rick? Like on a mystery dating show, it's like, is this Rick Fox? Not even close. But technically, no lies told. And right. Laura is a busty little woman with glasses.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's like, hey, here we are. We could go as Halloween.
Right.
As like poor man's Rick Fox and like lower middle class Ariel Winter.
Yeah.
So anyway. Brad Garrett shows up.
Yes.
And Brad Garrett is the guy. It's too late for me now. I think we all agree, listening in studio. It's too late for me to for my dreams to come true.
Are your dreams to be Brad Garrett?
Well, at this point, my dream was to be the fucking Rock when I was 26.
Right.
It's been a hard 18 years.
You could make Brad Garrett come true.
Well, I'd like, but it should. I'm sorry. It should be true.
Okay.
Like, and I don't mean that as any disrespect to Brad Garrett, because Garrett, obviously, he was a stand-up comic who did impersonations early in his career. He's 6'8".
Yeah.
People, listeners are like, but Jale, you're only 6'7".
Right.
Thanks, fans. Thanks, fans. You're right. Totally different universe. And then he got Everybody Loves Raymond. He got, you know, 180 episodes at 400K an episode. I got one episode of billions.
Right.
And that's where our paths diverge.
Right.
I'm so far.
Right. I'm 170 plus episodes short of him. But he's been on these other great shows. And I'm just like, he runs a comedy club in Vegas in the MGM. And I'm like, how do I get to Brad Garrett? Like, literally, how do I say, mentor me. Don't you want to help the next? There is a obscenely tall comedic actor once a generation.
Yes.
Fred Gwynn.
Yeah.
Of the Munsters.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
Maybe you could go Richard Mall Bull on Night Court. He was like 6'6". Okay. Rest in peace.
You're starting to go over my head a little bit, but oh, okay. I'm with you.
Well, we're talking tall actors. And then you get Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
Maybe the apex of the tall comedic actor, both in height and wealth.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do I get a week at his club as like a middle act or whatever? How do I talk shop with him? Because it's we have all these opportunities for mentorship and representation.
Not in this industry, we don't.
But where is, hey, it's time to help the next tall guy, you know?
Yeah, well, you're definitely, it's funny, I attribute this to Roger Stone, of all people, but if you've ever seen the Roger Stone doc
on
Netflix where he says...
I also fucked his wife in front of him. I was invited to fuck his wife. He was a very generous guy. Not true. I mean, true, but not true with me.
Right. Right. I have, he in his documentary, he says, the way fame works is, they say... the stages are, who is J.L. Covan? Get me J.L. Covan. Get me a J.L. Covan type. Get me J.L. Covan. So it's the same thing with Brad Garrett. I mean, at this point, you're a Brad Garrett type. You could be swimming in the wake of get me a Brad Garrett type.
Well, and this is a fun, the issue, unfortunately, though, is it's, I feel like the Brad Garrett type, they're like, oh, let's get Brad Garrett. There's not a colossal need for 6'7" plus comedic actors.
Well, it's interesting. It's also like his time where he would have been the guy. There was a while where Jonah Hill, there were so many actors that were popping up in things that were like biting Jonah Hill's style in movies. And I remember there was a guy that popped up in, did you ever watch How to Make It in America?
No.
It was a great show that I really liked on HBO.
Hustling young entrepreneurs in the city.
In the Lower East Side, like in the fashion industry and stuff. It was good. I think it was on like 2010, 2009, like right around there. And there's just like a very blatant, in the second season, there's a guy that pops up that is like just doing Jonah Hill. Like literally, like almost word for word doing like, oh, so that's what you do? That you do that? Oh, you guys date each other? He's like doing that. And I think the thing is, it's like Jonah Hill was at his peak at that point. So it's like maybe if you had been.
My moment was 2004, like early in comedy. Before I was even.
Right.
And I will
but you didn't look like that then. You were still.
No.
Hunk.
Oh, no. They were like.
Now you're Brad Garrett.
Yeah. It's too late. Like, oh, how cruel. How cruel the fates are.
Yeah.
We went into a meeting. I had a manager for like 3 months.
Yeah.
We went into a meeting at CBS television.
Yeah.
Okay. And met with a guy. And now I'm fucking jacked and 28 and like not getting, just was on fucking the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. And I'm sitting there, you know, guns just bursting out of the t-shirt.
Yeah.
In a meeting, and manager made like a joke about how like he would like me. And it was definitely like a gay.
Yeah.
Like a gay, and I, in my head, I was like, nah, I mean, it's like, I guess if I was a 5'2" woman and that same thing happened, I would have been like, excuse me.
Yeah.
And maybe they wouldn't have said it, but maybe because I was a colossus.
Yeah.
They're like, you'd like to climb this tree, wouldn't you? Yeah. And, but he mentioned Brad Garrett, like my manager knew what he was doing. He mentioned Brad Garrett and I got out of the meeting.
You're
I wasn't mad, but I was just like, Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
Dude, people tell me I look like the fucking Rock.
Right.
Brad Garrett.
But now.
And he said, you have to give somebody something, like you just have to give them a lane. Like that you have to just tell them when. I was like, oh, okay. Well, lesson learned. My next studio meeting, I'll be sure to remember that. And 17 years later, there's not been another studio meeting. Anyway, guys, we're here on Rain on Your Parade. And. But I just, Brad Garrett, he just said something in the episode and I laughed so hard. And as usual, Laura just wasn't on the same wavelength humor with me. But he just looked at a guy. There was another actor who's, I think, a comic in the show. And he's a pretty tall guy. He looks like he's in like the 6'3" range.
Yeah.
And Brad Garrett just looks at him. I don't know if it was ad-libbed or if it was, but he said, "You probably thought you were tall until today." And I just laughed. It was like that was a line for me.
Yeah.
It was just such a good line because it felt almost ad-libbed. Yeah, it didn't feel like they wrote that in, but it was just such a good line. And so if anybody out there knows Brad Garrett, if there is a, you know, mentorship or height representation committee at any of the studios, I'm all in. I'm all in.
You're proud of yourself, Raymond?
Oh, man. But it's just like he's had that great, and he was in one of the greatest romantic comedies of all time. Music and Lyrics with Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that.
I love that movie.
Really?
I like Hugh Grant. This movie is, I'm telling you, it's so good. I really recommend it. I recommend it to the listeners as well. It's basically about what if Andrew Ridgely, it doesn't stick to the, you know, it was George Michael was all the genius behind Wham. But it's basically like, what if Andrew Ridgely like had to make it as a songwriter and was like part of this famous group. And now he's just like a jingle writer and trying to make a comeback. It's so good. It's outstanding. And he's in that. He plays Hugh Grant's agent. I'm like, there it is. He's big show. Then he does a couple seasons on Showtime. Then he does this new show on ABC. He shows up in a couple. He's what?
He was in Bupkis.
Oh, was he?
Our favorite Pete Davidson vehicle.
Well, now I definitely will have to watch it. And we're going to have to erase anything I said bad about Pete Davidson in case they became very close. Because Pete Davidson is tall.
Right.
So in the absence of a true tall talent, Brad Garrett might have gravitated towards like a surrogate, like you're not as tall as me, but you're a lanky, tall, tired guy. So fuck it.
Yeah.
Anyway. And the last thing I want to discuss before we get to the main topic, which by the way, guys, is just a little topic called democracy. Ever heard of it? I've been having trouble for the last 3 years. It's like the 3-year anniversary of me being shadow banned on Twitter, which every facet of my comedy career has been harmed by this. Like this podcast would be whatever we're doing. We would be doing, I would say at least 5 times.
That would be nice.
What we're doing. I know. But I'm saying because I can chart every aspect of my career. Right. Not just, you have to factor in 2020. I was red hot. You have to factor in a dip from that for sure. But I also compare to people who are similarly situated as me, who are now in like the 400,000 followers and never have anything like not go big when they post a video or something. I was tracking with them for a year and it hit the brakes. So it's impacted everything I've done. So in 2020, one of my sources of income was a tech billionaire who did not like Trump, basically sent me a nice check. To him, pocket change.
Right.
To me, the largest check I've ever received.
Just sent it?
No. I talked with some people, like a go-between.
Okay.
And we set up my secondary channel, Trump the Internet, on YouTube. So it was like more of a sketch prop channel.
Right.
And those did really well in 2020. And I'm so desperate that I wrote to the go-between today and said, hey, this is a long shot. But since you're tech billionaire, knows the insane tech billionaire who runs X/Twitter. Any chance you can, like, this is how it sounds ridiculous, but I am only one degree of separation away.
Yeah.
But I was just like, or someone there, if it's not a CEO to CEO contact, and can I get information or data or get this fixed?
Yeah.
And it's crazy, but it's like, that's the sad thing about this business is like, they took away, it's like somebody took my agent and manager and executed them.
Yeah.
In cold blood. And then the agency said, we're closing up shop. We don't want you as a client. We're actually declaring bankruptcy. We're gone.
Yeah.
But if you want to stand out on a corner and shout your videos at people, maybe some will see it.
Yeah.
It was that drastic. You know, I would not have to have a day job right now if things had just kind of continued at half of 2020's revenue.
Right.
Half. I'd be like, I don't need a day job.
Yeah.
What am I, a loser?
Yeah.
And so I just thought people would enjoy that. Like, I've reached the level where it's like, I'd like to phone a friend and that friend is a billionaire in Silicon Valley.
It's a good friend to phone.
But it's like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I have to, because it's like, I can't, there's nothing else. There's no other play.
Do you think you're going to hear back?
The go-between said they don't. To be fair, it's a long shot, as you know, and I will bring it up with him.
Yeah.
But they don't really talk. But in other words, what I'm hoping is maybe he might know somebody else who's merely like a 500 millionaire per million person. But it's like this is like such the tragedy of this whole thing, where it's like I'm at this Hail Mary. This isn't even a Hail Mary. Like, this is something beyond a Hail Mary.
This is showing up with hat in hand and a pot that you've only pissed in.
Yeah.
And saying, help me.
Yeah, because it's I did do work for this person. I had given this person a free birthday cameo. Like, it was requested. So the person liked my stuff.
Yeah.
And like the go-between said, oh, could you do like a birthday message? Like, that was a year later, like in late 2021. But that's where we're at. And it's unfortunate because it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
So on that note, that was just a teaser. My career is crumbling, but now we're going to talk about the crumbling of American democracy next. And we're back. Mike, how was the break?
Fabulous, as it always is.
Did you call up Brad Garrett for me?
Yeah, I called Brad Garrett for you, JL.
Thank you.
He said, who? I was going to try to do a Brad Garrett, but I don't have any impressions in my back pocket at all.
That's all right.
Except for one Robert Downey Jr. line that I've done five times on this show.
Well, I'm just curious, though. What are the Avengers?
We're sort of an Earth's Mightiest Heroes type thing.
Oh, and by the way, thanks for all the engagement. Great question on Instagram. What other songs should Bruce Springsteen cover? And I was just like, girls in their summer clothes. Girls in their summer clothes at Old Navy.
Yeah.
And at Prudential Insurance, cover me. I'm telling you, it's gonna be Bruce everywhere.
You could do No Surrender for the U.S. Army.
You could. That's on Born in the USA.
Yeah.
By the way, though, it's Magic was his 2007 album. And there's going to be more Bruce talk because I am going March 22nd in Vegas.
Yeah.
That'll be a big episode when I come home. You're going to really, might be a Bruce. It might be like a Bruce episode.
It should be.
We should
definitely do a full Bruce
episode. If I've been converted to the faithful.
Yeah. Well, I sent you a bunch of videos.
Shit, I didn't. I said I would watch them, and I didn't.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
Before you go to Bruce, you should understand like what you're kind of in for. Now, granted, the videos that I sent you, I think Clarence Clemons was alive in.
It's now his son.
Most of them, his nephew.
Yeah. They all look alike. All the sons and nephews look alike.
Yeah. My friend actually was in his. Well, it wasn't in Nick Clemons's band, but like around Jersey, these guys are just all musicians. So I had a friend who like played with Nick Clemons a lot when we were in like, just getting out of college, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small world, man. That Jersey music scene.
Yeah.
You know.
So we'll come up with more songs. Obviously, Brilliant Disguise, maybe Sephora. Is that you, baby, or that Sephora disguise?
That's good.
I mean, somebody, my next career is just going to be in advertising. Let's be honest. That's the only place.
What are you waiting for?
For fucking Brad Garrett to call. Come on, Brad. Brad, don't you see? Don't you see? There is a middle-aged Brad Garrett floundering right now.
Yeah.
And if he were to call, I definitely would stop the weight loss journey just to be like kind of like, I don't want to show up too jacked.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I was more lanky.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy.
Do you have a Brad Garrett?
No. Okay. I can't because he has that. There are certain impressions like he has. It's chesty so depth.
Yeah.
Like it's a depth that I okay. Like it's got to come from the chest.
Yeah, he truly is a monster.
Oh man, and I like Peter Boyle.
Run, children, run.
Are you happy with yourself, Raymond? Oh shit. Anyway, but we have more pressing things. And what are there? I'm gonna now just be like. Intermittently thinking of different like insurance, cover me insurance.
Yeah.
Girls in their summer clothes, any clothier, brilliant disguise, makeup.
Why don't we think on this? And bring inevitable Springsteen episode.
Yeah. Anyway, democracy, Mike. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's a sad thing when democracy was basically born in a place with a bunch of boy raping philosophers. Mm. And it's only gone downhill from there.
Yeah.
Who'd think we would have peaked with Socrates banging an 11-year-old mentorship?
Yeah, yeah.
And we've actually done worse to it now.
Yeah.
Can democracy survive in America?
Are you asking me, or is this posed the question?
Because I mean, I'm curious your thought, but it's sort of that's the theme, I think, for the next, you know, 20 to 80 minutes.
I don't think so. No. And I actually, this is, we talked a little Trump probably about a month ago now, but that's my big fear about him potentially, probably winning this election this time around, is that I really don't think...
A lot of people are upset, by the way. They, you know, I'm more in the middle. You seem convinced he's going to win.
I'm convinced. I'm not rooting for that.
Right, right. A lot of my fans seem convinced it's not going to go that way. Yeah. I'm in the middle where I'm like... It's an embarrassment, even if Biden wins, because it should be a... When Ronald Reagan, who was a piece of shit, but goddammit, he was slick and inspiring.
Sure was.
He really was. Like, people want... his policies, like, we live in the... And I must recommend... I'm sorry, I know people who follow me hate fucking books, apparently. But the Rick Perlstein quadrology, Before the Storm, Nixon Land, The Invisible Bridge, and Reagan Land. It'll take you an entire season if you read quickly. Mm. These are incredible books that basically chart the rise of the Reagan movement from, you know, LBJ and the Great Society and the 16-year shift that led to Reagan as the sort of the Trojan horse of the modern conservative movement. Slick, inspiring. And I will say this. I think there was a guy, he looked like Andrew Jackson. And Peter Gammons, but he was like a guy. He was on CNN a lot.
Andrew Jackson and Peter Gammons look alike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do. Jeffrey Star. No, he was a surrogate for Trump for the election in 2016 on CNN. And I want to say his name is Jeffrey something. Anyway, he would make comparisons between Trump and Reagan. And I'd be like, oh, get out of here. But to be honest, Trump is the uncivilized Reagan. Reagan was the smooth, polished, optimistic Trump. Mm. Trump is the vulgar, disgusting, pessimistic version of that. So at least you can say Reagan could inspire. He was a charismatic, slick, positive person. He gave off that. So I could understand people falling for his. But I guess bigots and non-bigots alike in 1980 wanted to be inspired.
Right.
Whereas now it's just fucking subhuman animals that want to be angry. And that's what Trump gives them.
Well, yeah. And the Reagan thing specifically, if you look at a certain demographic in the country, I'm talking primarily about white people, the 80s rocked. You know, everything was pretty good for people like, I'll say people like my parents. You know, and like Roger Stone, again, identifying the white ethnics that wanted to vote for Reagan. I mean, those are the people that I feel like were impacted by those years in the 80s. And at least you can look back at those years and say, like, well, the stock market was rallying. Seemed like everybody was able to buy a house. things were like kind of good unless you were African-American. Whereas the Trump presidency and potentially the second Trump presidency, I don't think the temperature of the country quite feels the same. And I think that's the difference when you look back at the Reagan presidency, is that you can kind of, there's this nostalgia factor for the fact that it was very, as unwholesome as the 80s was, the pop culture around it was nostalgic for 50s sort of values. Is that the word you want to use?
Sure.
You know, maybe that's all bullshit, but at the same time, there's a little more of a, I think Reagan is actually like at least a little more of a real consequential leader than whatever Trump.
Joe Biden's first term, and this is just facts. This is facts, mm-hmm. as the kids would say. Curb stomps Reagan's actual legacy, like economy stronger. Because Reagan actually had a rough first term.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, you know, and people were like, all right, give him 4 more years. Let's go. But
landslide victory.
Well, that was what I was going to say. But like Biden is doing all the Reagan things without any of like if this were Reagan right now, you know what he would do? He would sneak arms to the Ukrainians through a fucking shady illegal arms deal.
Right. And then forget all about it.
Right. But Biden isn't doing it. Biden is defending democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously, yes, everybody can point to Israel and Gaza as an issue, of course. But I'm saying Ukraine is still, to me, no offense, Gaza. I know Gaza listens. But Ukraine, I'm willing to go ahead and say, I feel like Putin, to quote The Godfather, the greatest movie of all time and the best of the three Godfathers, Trump is a pimp. It was Putin all along. That's it. Trump is Barzini. No, Trump is Tattaglia. God, Trump is Tattaglia.
Yeah.
And Putin is Barzini.
Yeah.
When it comes to democracy.
Sure.
And Putin is getting a Hitler level. I hate to say it. Like, I know, I don't mean that in terms of there isn't the like single focus on an ethnic group.
Right.
But, and I know I don't say that lightly to be like, he's another Hitler. No, no. Hitler, give Hitler his flowers.
Right, right.
He is in a place.
Hitler's the baddest of the bad. Right.
Okay. Give him his flowers, even though, you know, I know Miley Cyrus is probably like, Hitler can buy his own flowers.
Yeah.
But, Putin is like on that level, I think. Like he may be more strategic, or he may be, but Navalny's death, disgusting, tragic.
Yeah, right.
What's going on in Ukraine, it's like we should give Ukraine everything they need. And when I say democracy, if the United States, the Reagan, for all his issues, there ain't no way he wouldn't be rallying the fucking GOP and some of the Democrats to be like, we have to fund that. They are fighting this war, so we don't have to.
Well, at that time, for sure. I mean, Reagan was behind Afghanistan, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I the thing is that...
Or as Billy Joel said, Russians in Afghanistan.
Yes. I think that the issue is with your, I think you're very right making these comparisons between Trump and Biden. I think that there's a lot of similarities, but on my podcast, we were talking about Nixon this week. It's actually it'll be out by the time this episode is out, but we were talking about Nixon and Nixon in hindsight.
First of all, say the name of the podcast, and everybody, if you're an Instagram person, go follow Slickback Studios on Instagram.
Thank you, JL. It's Mike Coscarelli Rules, where you can hear me talk about things like love and politics all together.
The problem with Rain on Your Parade is
not
me,
enough love. Yeah, right.
get on that show.
So we were having a conversation about this, and you know, Nixon, if you look back at like many of the things that he did, was really... History, I think, would look favorably on him outside of Watergate. Watergate is obviously this like major scandal that really fucked up his legacy.
And not to be that guy, and Vietnam, because he basically fucked up an early exit so that he could get elected.
Well, sure, but he did de-escalate the Vietnam War.
But I'm just saying, there is like record of him basically being like, oh, wait. Johnson is going to get them to like a truce table now.
Yeah, fair enough.
We need the killings to keep going a little bit longer so I can.
Fair. Okay, yeah, fair. So he can get the credit for it.
And get elected. Like, it needs to be a problem. Similar to the border. I mean, to make another comparison, the Republicans are, but it's the whole party now. And I'm sorry to interrupt. The whole party is under this like fucking, they've done a 180 on so many things because they're just like Trump. It's really a fucking cult.
Right. Well, but the only thing that I was going to say about Nixon, and I think this really you could probably apply this to Reagan also, is that I think that they had a real respect for the office even if they abused power at both of them, you know?
Right.
I think that Nixon getting caught and all that was a real shame for him, you know?
Right.
And I whatever happened with Reagan at the end, if he actually had Alzheimer's or was just kind of like pretending to have Alzheimer's to not get prosecuted or whatever with the gun running in Venezuela and all right. that, you know, for those things to happen at the end of these guys' presidencies, that's a major shame for them and a tarnish on their legacy, which I'm sure if we were in a room with them having a drink, they would tell you that. Whereas I don't believe that anything that's happened to Trump up to this point is of any consequence to him personally.
The Constitution is a cum rag to Donald Trump.
Right. And I don't feel that way about those other guys.
Right. Right. No, so what we have now is because there was another great book. I'm recommending a lot of books to people. They're already turning off the podcast. But there was another book that I reviewed a few months ago on my patreon.com/JOCovan. And it was called The Tyranny of the Minority, which is a book about how our institutions are now being abused to protect minority rule. And that they lay out certain things. Minority rule should be protected for individual rights. You shouldn't be able to steamroll individual rights or voting rights by a majority vote, because then that's tyranny of the majority, which the founding fathers were very on guard for.
Right.
So individual rights and voting rights are the places where it should be no. You need to keep the filibuster. Supreme Court needs to protect those, even if a majority decides black people can't vote.
Right.
No,
right.
That's not the majority. But for the vast majority of things, the majority should win.
Yeah.
For the vast majority of things, and they're not. They've instituted the filibuster in the Senate is a fucking joke. And it's become this thing where people like Joe Manchin think I'm noble because I'm keeping this thing
right.
fucking up our country.
Right. Right.
Look at me, principles.
Right.
These are called principles. This is called our country's getting fucked from a make-believe thing.
Right.
And I'm doing a Bill Maher head turn.
Yeah.
It's a make-believe thing.
New rule.
New hacky intro jokes. Cater to the far right. New rules. Oh, come on. Laugh at that. Fuck you. Woke. Woke. Yeah. Woke.
Yeah, yeah.
Cancel culture woke.
Yeah.
See you next week. Bam, bam. Bam, bam. Ba-da-dum. Bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. Anyway, but the filibuster, the Senate, and these are things that this is why I think democracy is, it's not life support yet, but we've been given a bad diagnosis from the doctor.
Dude, yeah.
Because the Senate, the problem is, to quote Al Pacino from The Insider, to paraphrase it, when he says to the lawyers, he goes, "So the more truth we tell, the more in trouble we are." Tortious interference. What the fuck is that? The Insider's a great movie.
I don't think I've ever seen
it. Oh my God, it's so good. It's a great movie. A great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Tortious interference. What the fuck is that? And it's the idea that the more you, in terms of violating an NDA or something, it was the more truth we tell, the more guilty we are.
Right, right.
And the more we tell Republicans, hey, there's 9 people in Wyoming with 2 senators. They're going to be like, "Well, you're definitely not taking that away from us."
Right.
Thanks for the heads up.
Right, right.
For a second, I thought I was a fucking useless ranch hand.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm fucking over California big time.
Ugh, Montana, all those places, man.
Right. So you have those places now know. And they're not going, if you've checked out the modern Republican Party, they're not going to make any principled democracy first decisions. You know, it's unfair to our fellow citizens in California and New York and to be honest, Florida and Texas.
Yeah.
That crazy way, the 4 biggest states are 2 Republican, 2 Democrat.
Yeah.
But California is the big Godzilla because there's so many fucking people there. They're like,
yeah,
you want to be ruled by California values?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should. There's 50 million of them.
Right.
Because it's a fucking great state with lots of good. But what about the homeless in San Francisco? What about that? I don't hear you talking about that too much. And
dude, there's also plenty of red in California.
Yeah.
Which I don't think really is ever brought up for discussion. One of my mom's best friends from when she was a kid moved to, I think, Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah.
One of those places. And she's a gun nut. And it's a very, very red part of California.
Right.
The middle part, I don't think is like that liberal, really.
No, but it's obviously, you know, but you're still talking about 2/3 of the state. Yeah. Right? So, but in 1/3 of 50 million
is more
than the fucking most of the states. Like the Republicans who live in California outnumber half the states in the country.
Yeah. Right.
So, but so what we have is we have a, the diagnosis is we need to change some major things for democracy to keep working. And the problem is the patient, instead of doing those things, is like, I'd prefer to continue to eat Trump, fuck over my common man, and continue to see us do nothing in Congress. So I don't see a solution. Like, this is another one of those pessimistic episodes, folks. But I don't see a solution because there are structural problems that the founding fathers never foresaw. Now, granted, they also didn't see the Second Amendment being for assault weapons because those didn't exist. But hey, but you have Republicans now realize, oh, no. The Supreme Court and the Electoral College and the Senate are, that's it. If we make those things more fair and representative, we're fucked. And people will say, you know, they wanted the states to be represented with two senators. It wasn't supposed to be proportional to population. But that was when, like, you know, Virginia's got 16,000 people, but Delaware's only got 9.
Yeah.
Now it's like California's got 50 million and Wyoming's got 12.
Yeah.
And it's, but there's too much of an interest in one side preserving this, and they have the mechanism to preserve these things. The filibuster, the, although to be honest, if we could just get 50 Democrats who believe in democracy, we could at least fuck that over. We could get rid of that. But the Electoral College is going nowhere, and it's absurd. It is an obscenity that we still have the Electoral College to determine presidential votes. It should be a popular vote. But Republicans know that until they nominate somebody who is fucking halfway normal or decent, they won't win the popular vote again.
Right.
So they're not going to get rid of that either. It's completely self-interested, which is, you know, not the goal of public service.
Yeah.
And so we you see it now, we're exporting it. You see all these strong men. Look how quickly the Republicans have always said, America is a shining city on a hill. Mm-hmm. We are an example to the world. Our freedoms are important. And then when we gave them 4 years of a fat dictator wannabe cunt, like half of Europe was like, that's good for us.
Yeah.
Orban and fucking all these like illiberal dictators showed up. Using democracy, using like, and, you know, and now Putin is like the apex or the nadir of this, where it's like, oh, Putin, when he killed Navalny, I think was like, what are you going to do about it? Like, I think his whole thing is, what are you going to do?
That and situation I'm betting was on bad. Nothing. I mean, especially the Tucker Carlson doing that interview. What was it, a day after the interview
day
aired?
Day four. He deserved, like, Tucker Carlson deserved that horrible timing, obviously.
I mean, my God. Yeah, well, because I don't know if you saw any of that. Did you watch any of it?
I just saw
him going to Russia and talking
about
how
awesome
it was. I mean, I
know what he did clips, but yeah.
I mean, just
look how
awful.
Clean their subway is.
Yeah, right. Just crazy. Also, real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
Do you want to take an actual guess at how many people for real live in Wyoming?
235,000.
578,000.
Okay.
But it ain't much. That's not a lot of people.
You know how many people live in my building in New Jersey? 118,000.
I mean, that's like truly nothing, man. That's not even.
When they film Yellowstone there, they have to call in extras just to be people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's so I just think when I look at this, I go, it is collapsing everywhere. And it's like, I don't think it can be saved. And it's a scary thought because we've taken it for granted. But I think when you look at the structural changes that need to happen in this country, voting rights need to be protected, mm-hmm. Which we couldn't pass because a Manchin and Sinema wouldn't get rid of the filibuster, even for voting rights, which would be one of those things where it's like, no. The filibuster should be used to protect voting rights, not to prevent voting rights. Yeah. And that's what they basically did. They don't see the context of like, no, the filibuster is very important. Right, because What could be more important than stopping people from voting in a democracy?
Right.
You fucking idiots. God, you leathery piece of shit and you quirky Wes Anderson character. God, they should be in a Wes Anderson movie. Who would play Joe Manchin in a Wes Anderson movie?
Let me look at what Joe Manchin actually looks like.
He's not a bad. I mean, he's like in his late 70s. He's not a bad looking guy. He's a tall former quarterback, kind of a little bit leathery.
He looks like Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't think Joe Theismann acts. Yeah.
Yeah. But and Kristen Sinema could be played by, you know, fucking any quirky actress in, you know, like Rachel McAdams, just frizz out her hair, throw on some glasses, something. But the point is, protect voting rights, couldn't get it done. Get rid of the filibuster, still possible. Still possible if we can get a 51, 53 seat Democratic majority. I think they could get rid of the filibuster, which would then get us voting rights protection. So that's the first thing, is getting to a real 50 vote majority in the Senate, not a 50 in name and 46 in practice.
Yeah.
But we need like a, so those things are possible, tough, but possible. Okay. That's the good news, I guess. The Electoral College is going nowhere. So Republicans for the next generation will always have a chance because of a stupid system that favors five battleground states.
Right.
So that's a disaster, and that's not going anywhere. So that, you know, and the presidency is the most important single office in the country. So that's a problem for a generation. And then I look at our people, and this is a combination of so many things. I mean, I held the door for a woman going into Starbucks on my way here, didn't say thank you. And I said, that's why we're going to fucking fail as a country. But people don't care.
Yeah.
People are self-absorbed. Devices are making us more self-absorbed than ever. I know we did a smartphone episode, but it's true. I think all these things factor. On an individual basis, we're more navel-gazing. We're more isolated. On a community level, we stare at our phones. We walk past each other. We don't socialize and interact as much. On a state level, we've got all these fucked up things in half the states in this country. And on a national level, we have these institutional problems that are stopping the real substantial changes that will just preserve democracy. Because you have one party that realizes, oh no, if we have a democracy, we lose.
Yeah.
And there aren't enough principled people who are willing to say, fuck my job. We should do it the right way.
Right.
You know, that's the way I do. Now, here's a lesson, America. I do comedy the right way because that's how I have to do it. And I am failing. But I don't sit here like a Republican and go, you know, if I just lip synced and stole some material and fucked some mid-level agent, I could have a good career.
You would be Brad Garrett.
Yeah. We're not... not suggesting that he did any of those things.
No.
Right. Thank
you. We're saying that that's what you would need to be Brad Garrett.
I would rather.
Because he is so great.
Yeah, exactly.
That you need to do these things.
I need all those
things. It's a shortcut.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You probably thought you were tall until today. But I, like we have, and Chris Christie said it, former Jersey governor.
What did he say?
Pretty big Springsteen
fan. I'm hungry.
Well, he said, I'd rather lose. He said, like, I'd rather lose honestly than win dishonestly. Mm. I mean, in the context of Trump, it's true. Obviously, he did his own shady shit in Jersey. But the point is, we don't have enough people who believe we are a results-oriented society now in every way. And it's disgusting because in World War II, I don't think we were results-oriented. You know, I think obviously we had other problems. You can always bring up other problems in society. But I'm saying we don't have community values. We barely have community. Hmm. And if you don't have community, when I do hands on the table, I got to do. If you don't have community cooperation and consideration, then you can't have Electoral College reform. Republicans, Democrats getting together, doing what's necessary, Brother Mike, doing what's necessary. So it's like we are diseased at a cellular level. That we are at every level of this country, the democracy is in trouble.
Yeah.
A cellular level is like the community or individual. Individually, we're all on devices. We're all just kind of absorbing things and being hit with so much content.
But, all right. But, so here's my question for you.
Yes.
And it does stem back to Biden. It's kind of like one of the first points I wanted to make when we started to talk about him. because I vote Democrat. I think I have for every election. And I will again. Obviously, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but there is something that
no, brother. I'm on a third party ballot, brother. If you want to take the chance,
oh, I do have a third option. But there is obviously something exciting about Trump to his base mm-hmm. that gets them out to vote, which is why. And I think there was a fervor last time around for Democrats to just not have Trump be reelected. Mm-hmm. Where my personal sample size in my life, I think there's a lot of people that are disillusioned, and we talked about this in the Biden episode. They're not excited to vote for him. So I think a lot of people will stay home on the left, yeah. not the people on the right. Trump people are ready to vote for him.
Well, this is their Rocky too.
Right.
They think,
right.
You know, the black guy won in the first one. Right. We gotta come back. Right. Oh boy, is that who I think it is?
Vinny.
Well, you know, I'm voting for Trump. I don't like everything he says, but I think he puts America first. I think he cares about the country. I think he's a good dude, and I like him. Biden's barely fucking awake.
Yeah,
he's barely awake. So I'm going to vote for Trump. You vote for the other guy. We don't have to disagree just because I'm voting for the racist guy who rapes chicks. We just have a disagreement. Right, Mike?
Yeah, Vinny, would you vote for somebody your known as age?
Were you bringing up my Nona in this?
I'm just curious because these guys, they're both old. I mean,
let me tell you something. My Nona, she would get up on the debate stage with a wooden spoon and say, "Don't you talk to me like that." She would probably whack Trump and Biden in the fucking head. And I'd be like, "Ma, you can't do it. You can't. There's a president, Ma. There's two presidents. We don't like Biden. We don't like Biden. Biden's an old piece of shit. But you can't hit him with a spoon, Ma." And then she would hit me in the spoon and everybody laugh. And then we go have fucking gravy.
Do you think your Ma, does she think that the Electoral College is a fair system? Or does she have thoughts on that?
My Ma didn't go to college. So yeah. She don't, like, she not into the Electoral College.
What about you?
I did 1 year at, what was it? DeVry?
Oh, okay. Did you learn a lot about the Electoral College there at college?
No, we didn't do it. I didn't like it.
Took like auto classes. Stuff
I was
like
doing
that.
Mechanic yeah. stuff, and I said, "My Uncle Tommy can teach me more of these fucking fanooks. I got to pay you tuition. Uncle Tommy's right there. He's got his own garage, and I got to go to DeVry." And DeVry, I don't mean to insult the LGBTQ community, but right. like DeVry sounds like, oh, you going to DeVry? You take it in the ass at DeVry? Right. So,
and that's why you're DeVry, into Trump, because you think that shit's gay. And it's,
and I got no problem.
Right.
Mike, I can see. No. The left people, they try to be like, he's got problem. No, I ain't got no prejudice bone in my body.
Yeah.
Okay. I once fucked a Puerto Rican chick. I'm very, open on certain things. But I'm just saying, DeVry, you go to DeVry, going to be a mechanic with a cock in your mouth? No, I'm not. So my Uncle Tommy taught me everything I need to know, and now I'm probably going to inherit his shop when he passes. You know, God bless. Not for a long time.
God forbid. Yeah, God forbid.
Not for a long time, but, you know, he don't eat too healthy, so like it might be sooner. I don't know. But the point is we support Trump because he loves the country. He's tough. We need toughness. Like Biden, maybe Biden. I got to be honest with you. Don't let my nonna hear this. Biden might not be a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just talking to him, he might be a little old, but he might be a guy, Hunter Biden seems like a cool fucking guy, to be honest with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, your type
dude's
of guy.
Fucking chicks left and right.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No-show job. That's Italians love no-show jobs.
Yeah, he's got a fucking sausage. I think Hunter Biden might be Hunter Bidenucci. I'm just saying, it might be we might have to look in the family tree, see where Hunter's background is.
Yeah.
But the point is, Trump is tough, and that's what we need. So Biden, he's not tough.
Right.
He ain't got the stones.
He's just old.
He's just old. And if he wants to sit around and play Pinochle and Bocce, it's okay. But like presidenting? No, fuck that. So Trump 2024. Anyway.
Thank you, Vinny.
Yeah, no, that was
it's
a
It's always good to see Vinny.
We don't have Scott Pelley this week. So Vinny, I think he's a little intimidated by by Scott Pelley.
Yeah, well, I would be. Scott Pelley is always asking him questions.
Whereas, like,
nothing Italians hate worse than questions.
Whereas Cornell West is more like has a good vibe.
Yeah. You can have a beer with him.
Well, brother, you can have a beer. You can have a let me get a light beer. I'm getting old on years, getting on in years. Can't have too many beers.
Yeah,
tears for fears. So my whole thing is, at every level, we're a bunch of cell phone staring, keyboard activists, isolated, working remotely, not engaging in our churches, our bars, our like all the, that's at the, like the cellular level. Mm-hmm. And then at the community level, it's not as much either. And then at the national level, we have major structural problems, which, like I said, the one glimmer of hope is, I think, if we can get 52, 53 Democrats in the Senate, which is a tough pull. That's what's so absurd. By population, the Senate should be like 71 seats Democrat.
Right.
And then you'd be like, fucking sorry, Republicans. Right. Like, sorry, we're going to be helping people. I know that fucking makes you guys terrified. We're going to have less discrimination, more equity, more voting, more services for people. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my. What a fucking dystopian nightmare that is. That's what's so funny about this is the radical left agenda. If left unabated, you just have more people like doing all right.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you know, and I'm not saying it's perfect, of course, but that's what you'd have. So we have the only hope I see is 53, 54 seats in the Senate, which would be so fucking hard. But if we got that, you could get rid of filibuster, enact voting rights legislation that would like take gut every Republican fucking bullshit measure. That's like, well, if you have an afro, you have to vote 900 miles from your home.
Right. Live in Newark, vote in Philadelphia.
Large penis, you must travel 18 hours to vote. Oh, what about me? Trump. You making me go 18 hours to vote? Not you, Vinny. You get an exception. If your name ends in a vowel, you can vote near your home. So it would. I just think it would be a like we have so many issues. The only hope, the only like avenue for hope, is Senate majority, like by a few votes to cancel out the Manchin's retiring. That seat's going Republican anyway. So you need 50 committed Democrats to enact voting legislation. If you can do that, you can at least lock that in and start to change things from there. That's like, if I were to say one thing, but that requires voting for Joe Biden. I'm sorry. I know he's the fucking worst.
We're going to do it.
You got to vote for Joe Biden. You got to vote Democrat down ticket. And I said, the thing is, to preserve this country's ideals and morals and what it says it stands for, all due respect to a few Republicans like a Mitt Romney, who I think is a good person and cares about the country and has his own set of values, but he's not anti-democratic. He's not
right.
But with the exception of a few people like that, and I don't even know if he would support an aggressive voting rights package, but I think he'd have a more principled reason than Democrats will win if we do this.
Right.
But you have to vote for a Democrat. Like, if you care about the things, if you care about the bullshit that is America, if you care about Rocky Balboa and Lee Greenwood, God bless the USA, and Bud Light cans being for straight men.
Yeah.
If you care about the bullshit of America, Trump's your guy.
Yeah.
But like I've always said, Barack Obama is the ultimate litmus test for this country. And I, you know, as a law school educated, half black immigrant, half Irish American person, I feel a kinship with my brother. And it is, his story is the ultimate American story.
Yeah.
The ultimate half immigrant. We're a nation of immigrants. He's half immigrant. He's half native born white, half immigrant of color. Look at that. Because we always talk about, we take in the talent from abroad, but we also have great values here. Rises up through hard work and talent to become a Harvard educated lawyer, a community organizer, a senator, and a president. Marries a woman with a
and
great,
that Spotify deal. Oh, the Netflix deal.
Renegades. Yeah. Hey, $400 million. Give me it for my catalog. If you make that colorblind,
yeah.
and give him a name like Jim Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
The ultimate the ultimate. Oh my God. We can jerk off America because it actually came true. Everything we talk about is embodied in Barack Obama's story until the Spotify deal.
Yes.
As we've said, I got to be honest. Yeah. I didn't need him doing a podcast or a Netflix content.
The build up.
But then, as I said, who comes along with fucking a sneaker deal?
Trump. I know. Well, like, that is
immediately
pathetic.
Like we look like assholes where it's like, I don't like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. We're like, I don't like that Obama does high drama for Netflix and quality documentaries. It's beneath the president. And then Trump's like, would you like some gold plated high tops? You can play them on the court. Everybody will know to foul you very hard when you show up to a court wearing Air Trumps. Right? That's a sketch.
That guy's getting picked up at half court.
White men can't jump. It's like Billy shows up in Air Trumps and like everybody just starts hacking him in midair. He leaves just like bloody.
Did you say white men can't Trump?
I did.
That's good, though, isn't
white
it?
White Men Can't Trump. Yes! Slickback Studios presents.
White Men Can't Trump.
It is hard goddamn work being this racist. Oh, shit. Instead of Jeopardy, you know, the girlfriend goes on Wheel of Fortune because Pat Sajak's the cook.
Yeah.
What is the...
That's great.
What is the jigaboo? Well, you know, I'm cashing in all my half black chips on that one.
Yeah, so,
but the point is, Obama was the ultimate American dream. The story patriots jerk off to when they tell people what America is. That's it.
Yeah.
So if you don't like that, fuck you. You're the problem because all the things you say you like about America, you don't. You like apple pie, you like Kid Rock, you like Trump jerking off to Lee Greenwood and YMCA, but you don't like America. You like the fantasy of white people doing shit, running shit, getting shit. And I've said Donald Trump is the last best hope for the white American fantasy. He is a rapist. He is rich. He fucks models. He talks shit. He says racist stuff because he doesn't have to worry about HR coming down, like breathing down his neck. He's everything the worst white people in this country want to be so bad. Right. So they look at him as like, oh my God, you are him in the young people terminology. You're like, you're everything I want to be. When I called the handyman a Latino slur and got fired at my job, that wouldn't happen to Trump. Yeah. They would have fired the Latino handyman for being Latino. That's my America. So just comparing, forget Biden for a second. You're either an Obama believer in America or a Trump believer in America. And one of those is real and one of those is fucking garbage.
Yeah.
So I've given the one thing I think we can do, vote for a Democrat for Senate. That's in 2024, vote Biden, vote down ticket for, but until the Republican Party stops being the party of angry white fantasies and Trump's anti-democratic values, voting Democrat is the only way, because if you empower Republicans, the majority of them right now are enthralled to Donald Trump and his horrible values and his anti-democratic actions. So that's it. I guess that's a little bit of a positive.
Yeah.
Vote Democrat down the line, get your friends to do it. Even if they don't like Joe Biden, how about this? If you are so hardcore against Joe Biden, that doesn't excuse you from voting for your Democrat senator candidate.
Sure.
From doing everything you can. Worst case scenario, if you cannot bring yourself, that doesn't, you don't get credit for abandoning the entire democracy because you don't like Joe Biden's stance on Gaza or the fact that he's old. So do it. Do it for your country. Do it for your 19th favorite podcaster. And we'll be back with Comedy Talk. And we're back with Comedy Talk, Mike's favorite section. I know that.
Yay.
We all know that. Thank you, Mike. That was particularly enthusiastic. Punchdown of the week this week is not a specific punchdown, but it's a comment I've been getting. And I think I may have even complained about this in a previous episode months ago. But I had some videos do very well on YouTube this weekend. Not like I used to, but still very well. And the most common refrain after people say, great impression, amazing, great. You've got to do the accordion hands. You've got to do the hands. It's great, except you didn't do hands. Can you do the hands? Hands, please. But what about the hands? Can you do hands? And, you know, that's my version of Greg Giraldo's snacks. Do you know that bit, Mike?
No.
Damn it. It's such a great bit. He goes, he's talking about, he goes, at a certain level, it's got to be a choice, right? With how some gay men speak. Mm. He goes, I'm on the flight. And the guy is going, snacks? Mm. Snacks, sir? It's a very funny, very funny bit for all you 8 comedy fans listening to this. But basically what this person wrote to me was hands. And I just, I torched them. I probably went scorched earth, which was probably not necessary. I didn't get vulgar, but I just basically said, hey, there's plenty of animated hacks on the internet going, excuse me, Trump, excuse me, hey, shut up, excuse me, look at my hands, look at my hands, look at my hands. First of all, I'm holding a cell phone when I do some of these videos, which obviously if I held the cell phone and did it, you'd go, well, I can't see you. So there's the answer to part of your question. And the other thing is, the impression's so good and the dialogue is so top tier. How do you watch that and just like it's like a toddler with ADD or OCD. It's a toddler, but hands, just enjoy the impression. So I said to the person, you know, there's plenty of people on the internet who'll scratch that stupid itch if you need hands. Mm. But, or if you want to walk in front of a mirror and just do this while watching my video, there are your hands. You know, it's I've done the hard part.
Yeah.
I've done the hard part. I can do this anytime I want. Look at that. See, I have the ability. So anyway, that's the punchdown of the week. Shut the fuck up if you write to me with hands. Just stop. Unfollow the channel. Whatever I need you to do to stop, if you can't control yourself and go, but hands, mm-hmm. hands. I don't need you. You're not helping my comedy career. You're not somebody who's going to buy a ticket. anyway, special, guys. I watched a couple this week. Next week, we'll review a different one. It's a real doozy.
Yeah.
But this week, we're talking Taylor Tomlinson, okay? Or as I like to think of her, the Florence Pugh that I might have a chance with. she has been a wunderkind. She showed up on Last Comic Standing at like 18 mm-hmm. as a fresh-faced, you know, just out of the evangelical kind of clutches or whatever. And she has just been on a steady, hardworking tear since then. But this is the first Taylor Tomlinson special I've watched. A friend and a listener had said, maybe you could review that one. It was just went up. And I had an aversion to her, nothing personal. Well, it was a little personal, not personal, but it was like, it was my personal taste.
Okay.
We kept laughing, me and Laura, during the pandemic because she had a special come out in 2020 and 2022 and now one in 2024. The only person I know more prolific than that is sitting in this fucking chair.
Okay, go on.
You know, Mike, I don't get support at home. I'd like to get comedy support.
You get plenty of support in this room, JL. Don't even start with that shit.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm doing great Bruce Springsteen covers, you're fucking losing it over there. But anyway. But
what time is it right now?
Our usual time of recording. It was at New Shirt, by the way. Promises made, promises kept. But she had a clip from her special that went up during the pandemic. And she just said this thing, you know, she's got kind of like, not a deep voice, not Brad Garrett,
yeah.
But it's a little more, it's a little more in here.
Yeah,
like, it's not like, hey, so anyway, it's like a little, it's not deep, but it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's got a, it not even husky is not the right word, but it's just a little deeper. But she just said in the clip, the quick clip, she went, I am done. So we saw that and we were like, I don't think I want to watch this special. And for about 6 months, if I wasn't talking like Trump, Laura would be going, would listen to me do Trump and go, I am done. And we never watched that special, but friend recommended this one or is a fan of Taylor Tomlinson. So, hey, I'd be curious what you thought. So I watched it and it's very good. It's overall, I liked it. There are plenty of laughs. It's one of those things. It's a pet peeve of mine, and it's a weird thing to criticize. Sometimes I feel like this is my personal taste. This is not like a, sometimes I say things with the authority of like, if you like this, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
This is just me. Sometimes some of her bits, especially in the first like third of the special, are like too polished. Mm. Like, in, if that makes sense, it's like, I can read, you know, I could pick this one off. Like, I'm in the film room going, no, no, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You think that's like a spontaneous, hey, got you there. And I'm like, nope, pick six. Yeah, I just took that to the house.
You see somebody coming across the middle.
But for the most part, it was very good. She's clearly talented. It's a good show. I hated the fact that there was a crowd work segment at the end, even though it was about a bit. I just hate that on principle now. Mm-hmm. It's like, nope. Just do, unless something spontaneous happens, I just want to see you do your hour. I don't want any crowd interaction, other than, you know, crowd work god Matt Reif.
Right.
Yeah, we make exceptions.
Friend of the show.
We make exceptions for that. But it's called Have It All. And it's very good. And I, of course, liked it when she got more real at the end. It was kind of about her life as a comedian and different things. But she's very good. Like, that's. It's I might even go back and watch the 2022. I don't think I'll ever watch the one where she went, I am done, because it's just ingrained in our house as a joke. But I'll go watch some more of her stuff. But it's like, it's kind of crazy to think she's 30 and she's already been like, you know, headlining for like 11 years.
She had a TV show.
What TV? Oh, fucking.
She's the new late night person.
Yeah.
From CBS.
I did like how they sort of like, finally a woman in late night. Yeah, but you're hosting a game show.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, but we're not getting your fucking opinions.
Sure.
I mean, we're not ready for that. But yeah, it's a Have It All. She's fucking killing it. It's pretty crazy. And I meant attainable Florence Pugh as a compliment. I know that will come off as some sort of alpha male judgmental thing, but that's a compliment in my book. Go watch Have It All. You'll enjoy it. But next week's review, I think you'll enjoy more than what I review. What a teaser for next week. So everybody, please, I'm glad you're listening. Please leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Leave a nice review. We'd appreciate it. And if you have a question, a comment, a recommendation, a thought, YouTube episode. Yeah, yes. Go to the YouTube. Use the YouTube episode. Use the YouTube posting as you can watch it. There's plenty of funny things to see versus just listening. And leave a comment and we can respond to that and interact with that. It's almost like we got fewer comments once I said, please comment. And they were like,
fuck you.
Not when you ask, JL. Let it happen, you thirsty bitch.
Yeah.
So on that great note, democracy is dying. Taylor Tomlinson's special is good. Brad Garrett, call me, and we will see you next Thursday.
Good. Let's just do this tease while we're here.
Yes. Yes, of course. Okay. Democracy's dying. Is democracy dying?
You should do like a rundown of like this week on Rain in Your Parade. Is democracy dying? Should the Electoral College be abolished? Should... And throw like one more thing in there. Or like, what else? What did we talk about the intro?
Brad Garrett was like a lot of the intro. And am I the next Brad Garrett?
Yeah, that's something like that I think would be good.
Yes. Okay.
Just move to your right still, though. There you go. Yeah, you keep getting out of frame.
Oh, wait. I keep forgetting. Like, it's so weird to see the reverse. I kept doing this and being like this. Thinking it was this side. I'm like, why won't the shirt? Okay, there. Okay. All right. Go now.
Mm-hmm.